What's up, everybody? Welcome to Wisdom with the Willises. I'm Austin.
And I'm Brenna.
And together as a family, we'll share pearls of wisdom gained through our life's experiences.
From laughter to sorrows, triumphs to challenges, and some tears along the way, join us on this journey of reflection and growth.
We pray this episode blesses you, and that through all things, in all things, you see that God is good. Hey, listen, welcome to Wisdom with the Willises. Let's go!
Let's get it.
EP1.
This is exciting. So I've had two whole people tell me that they're excited for this.
Really?
Two.
Who? Shout them out.
McKenna.
Let's go, McKenna. Let's go.
And Danielle.
I should have known.
Yeah.
They're real ones.
Yeah.
We got a lot of real folks in our life, though.
True that.
But listen, we are so glad that y'all tuned in. This is EP1 of Wisdom with the Willises. We created this platform with the hope that we could share some of our life experiences and really bless some people with maybe pearls of wisdom that can come from the things that we've been through. So,
yeah, just a place to talk about our life.
Yeah. And share hopefully, the goal is to get some of you guys and your stories here on the platform too.
We would love to hear what you would like to hear us talk about.
Yeah, so drop it in the comment if you're watching on YouTube, or email us. I don't even know. They can't even see a way to email us yet. We're working on it. But yeah, let us know. Hit us
just
up on Facebook,
us.
Instagram,
There's
whatever.
There's two of you.
Right, two viewers. Thank you very much.
The people viewing this probably have our phone numbers, so just, yeah, like, just tell us what you want to hear.
Hey, who knows, man? This could blow. No, I'm just kidding.
Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. But I'm excited. Brenna is, I've been trying to get Brenna on the podcast for kind of close to a year, I feel like, at this point.
It has been a long time. It's been over a year because remember Isaiah was like still sleeping in our room.
Oh, yeah, he was.
At the apartment. Now we're in a house. So
yes.
Remember we would be like trying to podcast when he had gone to bed. Mm-hmm. And we'd be like in there talking like this. We actually recorded our intro. With him sleeping. Well, oh my gosh, did you hear that?
Was that your stomach?
Yes.
That's crazy. Yeah, she's pregnant if you couldn't tell.
If you're not watching the video, you don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
So you probably just thought I was hungry. No, I just ate a bunch of Mexican food. So.
But that's what it's like.
Anyways, but yeah, we had been trying to do this for a while. So it's really cool that we have our own space. And Isaiah right now, he's with his aunts and uncles and my mom at the house while we kind of have an hour to try to like talk to you guys about stuff. But anyways, what are we going to talk about today?
So listen, we are in a weird season kind of, and I've been thinking about where we're at and also a phrase that I've just been saying randomly, good grief. Yeah. I don't know why. I feel like I'm like, you know, an old man when I say good grief.
Good grief.
Good grief. You know, usually when I'm driving or something and you know, somebody slams on the brakes in front of me or whatever, I say that. And I was thinking about the season of life that we're in. We've had a lot of death, a lot of people pass in our life pretty close together.
Yeah, and, I'm really curious. One sec. I just want to know where good grief originated from.
Yeah, she's going to look that up. But we've had a lot of people in our lives pass away in very short time spans apart from each other. And we've been around a lot of grief.
Yeah, really the last 4 years of our marriage, I think each year we've gone through grief.
Yeah, you've when we first got married, her grandmother passed.
My nonny. Mm-hmm. When we first got married, my nonny passed. And then my Aunt Leslie passed. Mm-hmm. And then my granddaddy passed. And then my nana passed. So it's really been like every single year. I mean, we've been married 4 years now. So each year has been a different type of grief, really, too. so that's been really interesting to go through. And it's, mm-hmm. it's really interesting because I feel like I'm always pregnant too and going yeah. through the grieving process, which obviously I've only been pregnant twice now. So I had gone through grief with when my aunt passed mm-hmm. and then gone through it again mm. with my Nana just literally last week. So, yeah. and still going through that, like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm still grieving all of those, but they were all different mm-hmm. types of grief.
Yeah. Grief is an interesting thing because it hits everybody differently.
Yeah.
And there's so many different emotions that you feel with grief. We're not psychologists, obviously, but I do know that they say there's five stages of grief. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one, that anger, denial. I think even acceptance may be one. There's so many emotions and things that you go through when you grieve. Mm-hmm. And I think that depending on the circumstances of a person or a thing, a person either passing or a thing ending, it may change how we grieve or maybe yeah. what stage of grief that we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
Because I think about like situations like premature death. If a young, God forbid, a young child passes and it's unexpected, I can totally see how someone who experiences that would immediately feel denial. They would be in denial that like, there's no way that this just happened. Not me. I mean, I see this stuff happen all yeah. the time, but how did this happen? Why did this happen? And I can imagine the questions and the wrestle that people have as they kind of try and figure out what to do next. Mm-hmm. And so all that to say, there are so many ways that people find themselves in that grieving process. And mm-hmm. I know for you, you had obviously, what is it, 3 or 4 deaths pretty close together, but a lot of those deaths were different in how yeah. How they came about. There were some right. that you were able to prepare for, and then there was, you know, some that happened, you know, kind of shockingly to you.
Yeah. So. My Nani's was pretty, that was probably the first like experience, not with death, but a close death, close relative dying mm-hmm. that I had dealt with. So, you know, my Nani passed, which is pretty drawn out. We knew she was going to pass, we just didn't know when. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of drawn out. And so I feel like I got a lot of my grieving done mm-hmm. in that time. And then my Aunt Leslie committed suicide. And that was a different type of grief. That type of grief, I can remember the exact place I was at, the exact thing I felt. I remember my cousin Randy had called me and we were talking, and then her sister had called her. And so she had answered the phone, and then she immediately got back on the phone with me and she was like, Aunt Leslie's dead. And she's like sobbing. And I was like, what?
You like kind of hit you, boom.
You're like, joking, right? Mm-hmm. And I had just parked. And I remember just being in a state of shock. Mm-hmm. Like, no, that can't be real. Like, no, like, you mean they're working on her, right? Like, mm-hmm. if something happens, you mean you're working on her. And at the time, we didn't really know what happened. We just kind of knew there was a gun involved. It just wasn't like, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, surely, like, she was cleaning, like, an accident. Like, what happened, you know? And then we later found out she took her own life. But even to this day, I'm still just like, what? Mm-hmm. And so I just remember, and I remember in that moment, too, when my cousin was telling me, I remember telling myself, okay, you've got to calm down. Mm-hmm. You've got to breathe. You have a baby inside mm-hmm. of you right now. You don't need this insane stress. Mm-hmm. You need to take a deep breath. And me and my cousin were pregnant at the time. Mm-hmm. And so we were both like talking to each other. I'm like, okay, we both need to take really deep breaths. Mm-hmm. We've got to calm down. We don't need this type of stress, you know, consuming our lives. Mm-hmm. And so that was just different. And I'll still think about my Aunt Leslie. You know, it's been almost, what, 2 years now?
Yeah, something like that.
And I'll still be going through the grieving process. Like, I just, I get sad sometimes. Like, I miss her. Things will remind me of her. Or I want to call her to go for a walk. Or I want to call her to come over. Because she was always that aunt that would just be down for anything. Mm-hmm. And I just want to be able to call her and be like, hey, you want to come see Isaiah? Because I know she would have, like, loved him. Mm-hmm. Or you want to go eat? You know, just the little things that I still just miss so much. And when someone passes from suicide too, I just don't wish it on anyone. Yeah. I don't wish anyone to experience those. Why?
Mm-hmm.
And even a part of that grieving process too, I had to sit there and think to myself, like, what did I miss?
Mm-hmm.
What did I miss? Was there a moment that I could have caught something? Like, could I have prevented this?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's also a different type of grief, like the sudden grief, but also the, could I have done something differently?
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, if you dwell on that, it will eat you alive.
Yeah.
Because ultimately I came down to the conclusion, no, there was nothing that I could have done differently.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing anyone could have done differently. Because once someone has that in their head and that's what they think, like, it's just hard to, it's hard to convince them otherwise.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have noticed it anyways with how sudden it was. So,
yeah, I think, there are a lot of people who can probably relate to what you're saying in maybe some different circumstances, but I really feel like it's important to know that you have to release yourself from the guilt of premature and sudden death in those cases, because I think it's natural for us to feel guilty. There's even something called survivor's guilt or something like that. Right. But you have to release yourself from the guilt of, things like that, so that you can truly heal and so that your grief can end up being good, because it leads you to being free and leads you to move on. Because what I've seen a lot of times is if people do not grieve and don't allow themselves to go through the process of grieving, then they end up in some ways getting into other destructive things. And in a lot of cases, I hate to say it, they do things that damage themselves even more. You know, some people will get into drinking. Some people will try to find an escape through sex or whatever their vice is. And the truth is, what I feel at least is, they're running from grief, because the process of going through grief can be scary and can be painful, but it's necessary to move forward. And we've talked about this before, but I want to share it on the podcast. When we were talking about grief before, this random clip from Finding Nemo popped up in my brain. And if you know me, you know one of my least favorite phrases is "get over it."
It's so insensitive, and it's just one of those things that, like, don't say that to someone. It really is insensitive, and it truly, that is a phrase that helps no one.
Right.
Like, at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what people think that it does, but it's just such an insignificant phrase. It has zero value.
Right. I agree. I don't like the phrase, guys. but
not fans.
That
not
phrase fans. Made me think about this one clip in Finding Nemo. Now, I'm assuming that some of you guys have watched Finding Nemo at least at one point in your life. If you haven't, you need to watch it, and I want you to fast forward to this part.
If you haven't, just come over to our house. Our 2-year-old will have you watching Finding Nemo. Don't you worry.
Isaiah will gladly watch Finding Nemo with you.
Yes.
But listen, during this movie, there's a part where Marlin, the clownfish, and Dory are trying to figure out how to get to the EAC. The East Australian Current. Right?
Yeah.
So they meet this group of fish, and they tell them right before they leave, they said, hey, when you reach this trench, go through it, not over it. And they're like, all right, yeah, got it. So they get to the point where they reach this trench, and some time had passed, so they forgot about what the fish said. And Dory says, I have a feeling we should go through it. I have a feeling we should go through it. She didn't know that she was remembering what was already told to her, but Marlon was like looking at the trench because it's dark, it's scary, they don't know what's in there.
Yeah.
So he's like, no, like the common sense thing is to go over it where we can see what we're looking at, right? But she's like, nah, I feel like we should go through it. So if you watch the movie, they end up taking Marlon's advice because he's the one that's typically more even killed, level headed, you know, has common sense or whatever. They try to go over the trench. They do go over the trench, but Dory nearly dies because they didn't know that there was a huge field of jellyfish.
Wow. Preach.
That come on now. We're getting a word from Finding Nemo, baby. But so all that to say, right, they thought the easier route or the route that made the most sense was to go over something, mm-hmm. or like people like to say, get over it, right? Yeah. It was quicker. It seemed easier. You're able to see, you know, what you're looking at, mm-hmm. or you thought that. But the safest route in the long run was to go through it. Mm-hmm. And so when I thought about that, I thought about how rather than tell people to get over something, why don't we tell people go through it?
Yeah, like go through it.
Like sit, allow yourself to feel.
Feel that pain.
All of that
feel
stuff.
Feel the frustration. Feel the anger. Mm-hmm. Feel the denial. Feel the, I mean, feel everything. Mm-hmm. Sit in it.
Yeah, sit in the pain. Sit in the now, sadness.
You can't let that dictate your whole life to a certain point, right, you know. To a certain point, we gotta figure something out.
Right.
But allow yourself time to heal from trauma and tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just get over it.
Yeah, because the thing about quote unquote getting over something is wrapped in there is this idea that if you take your mind off of something for so long, then it's going to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, that's not the case. If you don't deal with the things that are in your heart, as far as like loss and grief is concerned, all it takes is the right trigger for that thing to come back up, mm-hmm. and it's going to wreck you. And
yeah.
you just got to deal with those things,
yeah.
and deal with it in a way that is going to benefit you and help you to value what was, but also be able to look forward to the future and hope, mm-hmm. for what will come. And obviously with gratitude for the past, because grief is tough and it's scary and it looks like it's, you know, sometimes never going to end.
Yeah.
And you can't see how you're going to get over it, but how's it get over it? To get through it.
Yeah.
But it's so important that you allow yourself to go through the process, mm-hmm. so that you can be free to love the people that are in front of you and love the people that you may even meet in the future, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of tying back, I want to tie back into what we were talking about earlier with the different deaths and how some deaths you can prepare yourself for.
Yeah.
And obviously we just got out of like talking about deaths that are a little more sudden.
Yeah.
There was a quote, right, that I heard listening to an interview one time and I want to share it. It says, you should visit the pain in your mind so you're not shocked when you get there.
Yeah. I can relate this to the most recent death we just had, and that was my Nana. That grief was different too, because not only were we grieving, but like my Nana was also grieving. She had full, she was there.
Ability.
Yeah, she was there, and she knew she was gonna die, and she didn't know why God was allowing it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that broke my heart. I remember telling my mom, I said, Mom, that just makes me so sad. Mm. It makes me so sad that she doesn't understand. Now, this is a woman of faith that I have grown up hearing her say so many times, like, well, Lord can take me whenever he wants to take me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he can all go on and take me. But when it's that time, and you're slapped in the face with, hey, got a few days, which is basically what happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind of like, whoa, but I thought you said you were going to heal me. And I remember one time I looked at her because in the hospital room, actually, and she was like, the Lord promised me he was going to heal me. And I said, well, Nana, he is going to heal you. And that goes into expectations. I said, he's going to heal you in one or two ways. He's going to heal you here on earth with us. And boy, would I love that. Or he's going to heal you forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and there's also joy in that. But I could also see how that's scary because in that moment, she was still grieving the life that she felt like she still had time to live and that she wanted to live, the things that she wanted to do. She wanted to see my granddaughter be born. Mm. She wanted to see my brothers get married. She wanted to see, you know, people be saved in our family that probably weren't. Like, she wanted to see these things.
Yeah.
And you could tell that right when she was told, like, you have a few days, you know, that her spirit was kind of crushed.
Yeah.
And that just broke my heart because I don't ever think that she visited the pain in her mind or I don't think she visited, like, what if the Lord didn't heal me?
Mm-hmm.
What if the Lord didn't heal me on her earth? Would I still be okay?
Yeah.
Because you had conversations with her about that too.
Yeah. Because it can be scary. I mean, it can be scary to visit that pain in your mind. But here's what I want to really, you know, kind of clarify here. When you're visiting that pain in your mind, so you're not shocked when you get there, it doesn't mean that the fears that you have about losing someone or dying or whatever, it doesn't mean that those specific fears you have are going to happen.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes there are things we have in our heart, fear specifically about death or about losing something or about something ending, that kind of idolize that thing.
Yeah.
And if you're not careful, we can try and hold on to something in our own strength and in our own power, and we resist trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we say visit the pain in your mind so you're not shocked when you get there, basically what we're saying is take whatever fears you have for tomorrow and lay them at the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
Take the fear and say, like, okay, I'll give an example. I've thought about my son, and I, you know, this will happen with
when I
see things in the news
about
people who have lost their young children. I think to myself, there's absolutely no way that I feel like I could get through that. Like, I'm so glad that wasn't me. But the truth is somebody's legitimately dealing with that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so me visiting the pain in my mind is not saying, okay, at some point, this is going to happen to me. I pray to God that never happens. But what it is saying is, for some odd reason, if something were to happen or God allowed something to happen like that in my life, that I'm choosing to say that I will trust you, God, to get me through this no matter what.
Yeah. I also think that visiting that pain too develops a genuine empathetic response towards others going through that.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
Before I had kids, when I would see people lose children, I didn't understand that pain. But now having kids and just the simple thought makes me start to breathe heavy. Makes my heart start to race a little bit. Makes me have to remind myself, like, Lord, with whatever will you have for my life, for my children's life, I still have to continuously each day give that to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're surrendering your family every day.
Yeah.
Like, I remember always thinking, like, I don't know what I would do if I'd lose Austin, you know, but every day having to be like, well, Lord, if that were to be your will, he was yours before he was ever mine. And that is really hard to, like, even think about.
Yeah.
And that takes time. Don't get me wrong. Like, you don't, you don't lose a spouse or a child and just wake up thinking, well, he was already the Lord. Like, you don't do that. That is not how it works. I'm not saying that. But visiting that pain in your mind, it definitely helps you be empathetic towards others.
Yeah.
And makes you want to give them a big hug because
You should, because there's a scripture that talks about obviously rejoicing with those who rejoice, but also weeping with those who weep and mourning with those who mourn. And a lot of times, you know, people don't know how to do that. They always say is like, hey, man, I'm sorry for your loss. You know, and people mean that well. But there are a lot of cases where people just don't understand the weight of maybe how a person is feeling.
Absolutely not.
And, you know, I shared this example when we were talking, excuse me, but, you know, with our most recent passing in the family, our Nana passed, and, our Uncle Brian, was having a hard time with it. And I just kept thinking to myself, like, I hope I never have to bury my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And as selfish as that is of me to say, I know that that's probably going to happen for me one day.
Yeah.
And because I could start to think about what that would be like for me, I could only begin to imagine like how he was feeling in the moment.
Right.
And it just made me want to hug him, you know, and made me want to just make sure he was okay, because I could see the pain, you know, of that feeling.
So going off of that really quick, I had came across this verse the other day.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about it, but I wanted to read like the bigger picture of it
mm-hmm.
really quick, because it just reminded me, it segues into it. But Ecclesiastes 7 verse 1, so the title is Wisdom for Life. This is the NLT, but I'm going to read 1 through 4. So a good reputation is more valuable than costly perfume, and the day you die is better than the day you were born. Better to spend your time at funerals than at parties. After all, everyone dies. So the living should take this to heart. I like this part. Sorrow is better than laughter, for sadness has a refining influence on us. A wise person thinks a lot about death, while a fool only thinks about having a good time.
Mm.
And the reason I brought that up is because we were talking about how when you're able and you have the ability to visit that pain in your mind
mm-hmm.
and actually feel that, I mean, that little bit of what it might feel like
mm-hmm.
to be in someone else's shoes, how much you learn
mm-hmm.
from that.
Yeah.
It is refining.
Mm-hmm.
It brings you back to the reality of we all won't be here forever.
Mm-hmm.
But it also brings us to the hope that one day we will, the children of God will be up there with him, that we will see these people again. But I love that, obviously it's a sad verse, you know, but I love that part about it being, you know, better to visit the sorrow, mm-hmm. you know, essentially what it says. But
yeah, that's really good.
I thought it was a great verse mm-hmm. For this, because a lot of people don't talk about death
mm-hmm.
often or visiting the pain mm-hmm. that death brings. It's just, we kind of just walk around, I feel like, going, man, that stinks for them.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that because I'm guilty of it.
Oh, like, yeah. I think we all are.
Stinks, you know? But no, like, other people have to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
Sit in the same little ounce, little dime-sized piece of pain that they might be going through
mm-hmm.
and watch it change your mindset.
Yeah.
I do that a lot with the cross.
Mm-hmm.
I think about Mary. Mm-hmm. I really, after becoming a mom, I really started thinking about Mary a lot, because I can't even imagine.
Mm.
I can't even imagine. She knew one day that this might
mm-hmm.
come about, you know? But still, just the thought of your son being naked, bruised, beaten, bled, mm-hmm. spit at, mocked, criticized.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on a cross, to die in front of everyone, like,
mm-hmm.
that is unfathomable to me. Mm. I would just want to beat everyone up. Like, honestly, oh, if we're being honest, like, yeah, if I think about that being my son, like, yeah, I feel anger for her. Like, I can only imagine how she felt sitting there, and all she could do was weep.
Mm-hmm.
Just cry,
yeah,
and be in close proximity to him. But it really made me, every time I think about her, I just, I think about her being a mother, and I think about her loving her son, you know, as I would love my son, and how it, what it felt like to her to have to watch that. And then it brings me around to how God felt about it too.
Mm-hmm.
It was just sad. You know?
You know what's so interesting, and I just was thinking about this as you're talking, it's so important to bring everything back to the cross. And it ties in perfectly, I think, to this phrase of visiting the pain in your mind so you're not shocked when you get there. But this is one of those elements where the phrase is somewhat literal. The Bible says for believers that we should pick up our cross and follow Jesus. You see where I'm going here?
Mm-hmm.
So if we think of the pain, if we visit the pain in our mind about what Jesus endured on the cross and all the things that he went through, we won't be shocked when we get to bearing our cross.
Yeah.
Because following Jesus is painful. He even says that you will be mocked.
Yeah.
You will be persecuted. Some people have been killed. Martyrs have been killed. Some people have been slandered and lied on.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things that make following Jesus very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And so it's important for us to always look back to the cross, remember what Jesus has done and the basically example he set for us, so that we're not shocked when we get to bearing our own cross. And 'cause some people fall away because of the grief and the sadness and the pain they feel.
And the whys, like, why would God let this happen, you know?
Yeah, because tough things, bad things happen as you walk through, you know, this life as a believer. It's not easy because the world is, you know, hardened. Their hearts are hardened towards God. And so when you were talking, I just kept thinking about it. I thought it just fit perfectly,
me,
with carrying our own cross. And not only carrying our own cross, but learning how to give our burdens to Jesus. We can only carry the cross, we can only carry our cross. We can only carry the burdens that we have temporarily because Jesus carried them first. And so as we kind of segue to the end here, what are some practical things that we can give people as they think about grief and as they visit the pain in their mind, so they're not shocked when they get there? What are some things that we can leave with them practically so that they can move forward?
Well, I think for our people listening, it's really more of a homework assignment from me. I want you to visit that pain in your mind. Whatever you think could be the most horrific thing that could happen, you know, in your lifetime, like, I want you to visit that and sit in it for just a second, you know. I think it's important that you do so. I think it's important that, number two, you have open and honest conversations with your friends and family about death, and dying. And most importantly of all, I pray that you use this time to, if anyone hasn't given their life to the Lord, to give their life to the Lord, because we may grieve now, but we will be rejoicing later. And I think that's just so important to look at the people around you, look at your family and your friends and yourself, and, see who needs to hear the good news of Jesus, who needs to know him. So one day you won't be in grief anymore. You'll be in glory with, you know, the people that you might grieve here first. So that's what I have to give, if that made any sense. Sometimes I feel like say stuff. And
no, that was great.
La, la, la.
I think then I
look at you and I'm like, what did I just say?
Listen, the Holy Spirit speaking through you. I think everything that you're saying is going to really help some people. You did a great job.
Thanks,
telling you. But before we go, I'm not even going to add anything else to that. we do want to pray for you.
Yeah.
And we want to just speak blessing over you. Mm-hmm. So, dear Lord, we thank you for this podcast episode. We thank you for each and every listener, anybody who has taken time out of their day, out of their busy schedules to tune in, Lord, that they would be blessed, Lord, that they would get some wisdom out of this conversation, mm-hmm. and that something we said would just bless their life. We love you, Lord. We thank you. And we give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We love you guys. We hope you have a great day.
Yep. Don't get fired.
Happy EP1. Peace.
Yeah. Peace.